teach me how to trust my heart, my mind, my intuition, my inner knowing, the senses of my body, the blessings of my spirit. Teach me to trust these things so that I may enter my sacred space and love beyond my fear and thus walk in balance with the passing of each glorious sun. Amen. This is a Lakota prayer. And it is beautiful and profound, isn't it? I recite this prayer very often in my morning early prayers. And because this prayer invites me to open myself and connect with all my human senses and capacities, with the sacredness that exists in my own life. And I believe the Easter experience is a personal invitation to reconnect with all that is holy in us, within our own sanctity. Last All Saints Day, you know, just November last year, I was preaching at one of our All Saints churches. You know, we have three All Saints churches in the diocese, and I will not tell you which one. Yeah. But after the service, I was greeting people, and a person at the, you know, asked me, "What did you call us saints? We are not saints." And it was kind of, you know, it puzzled her that you know, I call everybody, "You are saints," and yes, we are. We are saints. However, sometimes we disconnect ourselves from that reality that already has been given to us. We are saints. How we preserve and how we stay in that sainthood, that's another matter. But that's what we have received as a gift from God. Life is sanctified by God. Life is holy. And it is being gifted to us with all its holiness. However, and this is a big however, our human condition inform us that life as a daily endeavor can be messy, even confusing. In fact, I will say, the messiness of life can even overwhelm us from time to time. It would be great if things were easier, but they are not. Daily life can be very exciting, beautiful, confusing, and painful, all at the same time. And the big human temptation is to either blame the daily occurrence to God. I have some friends, and that they said, "You know, I don't believe in God because there is so much horror, illness, and destruction on earth that how is that God, being all powerful, cannot do anything to stop that? God should be able to stop those things, awful things, ugly things." And that is the reason why they don't believe in God. But I have learned, you know, that God is not on the events of life. God is in the response that we give to those events. How we respond to those realities that are harsh and hard, that is where God, that is how God becomes present in the world. As Saint Teresa of Avila says in one of her beautiful poems, you know, we are the eyes of God. We are the hands of God. We are the feet of God. Because God has no body. We are the body of God. So if there is an action and a presence of God on earth, it is through us. We are the presence of God. And that is the holiness that resides on us. In all our limitations, with all our limitations, God is presence to us on earth. And so that is exactly what I see in this prayer, this Lakota prayer. Trust my heart, my mind, my intuition, my inner knowing, this sense of reconnecting, discovering the presence of God. In one of my favorite theologians, Walter Brueggemann, he's a wonderful Bible scholar, and I basically eat whatever he produces. and he has a last Ash Wednesday, and it will be weird for me to go back to Ash Wednesday and say, well, come on, we finished that. But on Ash Wednesday, I encountered this beautiful poem from him. And he uses the term ashiness. Ashiness. And how our own ashiness is messy and confusing. And it is present. And we, basically, on Ash Wednesday, we mark ourselves with that cross or that sign of our own, you know, finality. We are ashes. We are dust. But he said, but that reminder is what can help us open our hearts to the next state, to Easter. Because on Easter, Jesus, Easter us. We are Eastered. We discover the new life in Jesus. So it is not our Christian vocation and our Christian call is not to stop in the ashiness that that we can experience. You know, actually, he uses this beautiful sentence: the Easter victory over the dry, flaky taste of death. You know, that's how. You know, kind of, that's what we are called to experience. That Easter victory over that dry, flaky taste of death. And then he, toward the end of his poem, he has this beautiful stanza and says, on this Wednesday, it could be this Sunday, or whatever day of the week, we submit our ashen way to you. Your Eastern parade of newness. Before the sun sets, take our Wednesday and Easter us. Easter us to joy and energy and courage and freedom. Easter us that we may be fearless for your truth. Come here and Easter our Wednesday with mercy and justice and peace and generosity. Wonderful, isn't it? Easter us. How can we experience that? How can we be open to be Eastered? To recognize that gift, profound gift of God, that and holiness that already resides on us. There is an easy way, an easy path to do that. And you will be surprised, for what I'm about to say. But do you know that the heart has ears and eyes? The heart has ears and eyes. And to be fully Easter means to train the ears of the heart so that we can listen to Jesus. And we have to train the eyes of the heart so that we can recognize Jesus in our daily life. Hear Jesus, recognize Jesus, the presence of Jesus. And that is the way we are Easter. Reconnecting with the life that is in front of us. You know, and the Easter stories that we read, that we've been reading every Sunday, there is this joyful experience of Jesus, but at the same time, there is this kind of confusing element of the disciples not recognizing Jesus. You know, it's like they are seeing him, but they are not recognizing him, you know? The disciples that were running away from Jerusalem in the road to Emmaus. And all of a sudden they saw this stranger walking there. And the stranger asked them, "Why do you look so sad? What is going on with you?" And they say, "Haven't you heard the news? The Lord was crucified." And then that stranger walking with the disciples starts explaining to them the scriptures. And still they didn't recognize him. It is until they sit to eat, to share, to break bread, that their eyes are open. And something that calls my attention from that passage is when they say, "Wasn't our heart burning as we were hearing what he was telling to us?" That is the training of the ears and the eyes of the heart. Many people have said this, but you know, the longest journey that we can endeavor is the one that connects our mind with our heart. Very long road to walk. Very long road to walk. Connecting the mind with the heart. But it is through the heart that we are able to recognize Jesus. And once we recognize Jesus in the world, then we are able to share that Easter experience with others. Because it is the heart that is informing who we are. What we live, what moves us, what we carry inside. So that is the invitation. You know, the people of Jesus' time, you know, in the gospel we heard they were named as Jews. But I think that it isn't just them. Anyone who say, "Come on, tell us clearly." He said, just look at what we are doing. It is the best thing that we can share. Let me tell you a story. Just to bring you a little bit more of an insight on and training the ears and the eyes of the heart. I think that everything has to start with the word curiosity, to be curious about something. I had a church in Virginia, Arlington, Virginia, little one, and a Spanish-speaking congregation. And one day, you know, after the service, I was greeting everybody. Everybody was leaving the church. And after, you know, everybody left, you know, I walk into the chapel. And I saw these three women giggling on the back of the church. They were just giggling. And I saw this 3 or 4 year old walking between the pews very carefully, kind of looking in between one and exploring, and then walking to the next one and exploring. And she was walking along, looking around the church. And then she came to close to the altar rail, and was looking at the altar, was a table, you know. So, She couldn't see what was behind. And she kind of doubted to go up and turn around and look at the mom and the aunts in the back, and they were giggling. And say, the girl said, should I go there? And then I asked them, the woman, so what is happening? Has the little girl lost anything? Did she lose anything? And they said, no, we told her that we were coming to visit God. And after the service, she said, I haven't seen God. So she was looking for God right there in the temple. She was curious. She was wondering. Hard to kind of transmit this reflection, you know, you have to train the ears of, and the eyes of your heart to find God. But she was curious and wondering. And I think that we can do the same in life. Develop that sense of curiosity. We train ears to hear Jesus' voice. We train eyes to recognize the presence of Jesus in our daily life. Not just here, but everywhere. And it is through that curiosity and through that passion for life and recognizing the holiness of life that people will perceive that indeed God is not the instrument to stop the ugliness that we see in the world, but God is inviting us to become God's hands, God's eyes, God's mouth, God's action in the world. We are the body of God. We don't live in ashes. We live in Easter. And we've been Easter, and we live in holiness. So we are saints. Amen.